All right, we'll start the bottom of Chavdal and Mabet. Dealt with the Mishnah, which is Nidrei Havai. Right, we're talking about Nidarim that are exaggerations. Then the Gemara discussed about the Shavuos Havai, depending on the two Girsa Oats in the Gemara, whether Shavuos Havai, meaning that in Shavuot you have the same type of exaggerated Shavuot that would also not be, quote-unquote, problematic. Or the other Girsa, which says that Shavuot are different than Nidarim, and Shavuos can be problematic. Now, the Gemara, at the second to last line, we have Ravashi. Ravina says to Ravashi, V'dilma, Hai Gabra, Kina Dishum Shane Chaza. I mean, that we don't really know what this gentleman saw when he took the nether. I mean, he says there's a nether. I saw Ke'olei Mitzrayim, like those coming out of Mitzrayim, which means a large number, 600,000. But who says he's talking about people? Maybe he saw an anthill. And he's saying that I saw 600,000 ants. And he gives them a name that they are Ole Mitzrayim, meaning that he's not speaking about human beings, but rather about a large number of ants. And therefore his Shavua, or his Neder, depending on, you know, the cases here, are good. So then the Gemara says it wouldn't be, here we're saying it's a Nidrei Havai, or a Shavua Havai, it's an exaggeration. Because it's clear that he did not see Olei Mitzrayim, but that's a manner of speech that people would use Olei Mitzrayim for a large number of people. But what happens if it's really true? He wasn't talking about people, he was talking about ants. And what he said was true and not an exaggeration. And therefore, the nether of the Shavua should be Chal. So that's Amalei. So Rav Ashi said back to him, Kimishtabo adaita didan mishtabo. When he takes the Shavua, he takes the Shavua based on what we think, not what he thinks. Right? And we would never think that he was talking about ants. Meaning that when someone speaks, he can't just be talking about anything in the world. He has to be talking about, or something that's relevant to us. And, the people can't just make up what they think, or take a shavua based on their own considerations, their own thoughts. It has to be something that is equal or objectively true for everyone. So Mar says, is that really true? That people don't take subjective shavuot, meaning that they shavuot are really best based on an objective standard. When they make them take a shavuot, it's not when the Dayanim go to make him take a Shavua, they say it's not based on what you think. Right? El al da'atenu va'dat beisdin. When you're taking the Shavua, you're taking the Shavua based on what we think and what beisdin would think. Meaning that your Shavua is based on the objective standards of beisdin and, the Dayanim that are in front of you and not on what you think. So Mar says, lafuke mai. What's that coming to us good? Laf lafuke da sikluhu. This kundari vasiklahon shma zuze. Isn't this to exclude a case where he has his dice? Skundre is like dice, his lucky dice. And he called them a name. His lucky dice he called zuze. Alright? So now his lucky dice he called zuze. And he takes a neder that he gave. Then he gave his dice to his, creditor. And then he says, and takes the shvua that I gave him zuze. Right, because he gave him the dice that were named Zuzet. So isn't that what the Dayanim are trying to stop? But the fact that Beisdin had to specifically nudge him in the direction that it's an objective shvua here, that means what? So that would imply that normally people would take a shvua that is subjective, based on their own thoughts or what they really think. I mean, had they not made that qualifying statement, Beisdin, then he could have made a shavua about his lucky dice named Zuzay that he had handed over to his creditor. So they had to specifically exclude such a case. So Gemara says, no, it's not to exclude a case of that. Lo lafuke mikanyu deravo. No, it's coming to exclude the case of the Cain of Ravo. This is a very famous case. Dao gavra. There was this gentleman, to have a masik bechabre Zuzay. He was, a creditor to his friend Zuzay. Ata lekami deravo. Came from Ramalei the Lovech. Zoporoli, he says to the debtor, pay me. Amalei piraticha. He says to the debtor, says to the creditor, I paid you already. Hey, go ahead and swear to him that you paid him. So Azel, Vaiti Kanyo, came and took a cane, Viyav Zuse Bigabe, and then in the hollowed out part of the cane, he stuck all the money that he owed him. Bigabe. Baba Mistamak Vazil, and then he came walking in with his limping with his cane, or walking with his cane. Vatiadle the Beidinna, you know, he used this cane to come into Beisdin. Amarle the Malva Nukut Haikanya Biyodich says when you know he's walking up to the front of the Beisdin to take his Shavua. And the creditor standing there says, you know what, can you just hold on to my cane while I go take this Shavua? So then, he says, Nosav Sefer Torah, he took a Sefer Torah, Vishtabo, departed, and then he took his Shavua that he paid him. So now the Ram points out here that you have to say that this is a case of Modib Mixas. Because in general, if a person was Kofar Bakol, meaning that he denied that he owed him any money, then he takes the Shavua, what's called the Shavua Teseit, Shvud Hesed, right, is a Shvud Rabbanon, and the Rambam believes that he doesn't need what's called Nikita Chafetz. You don't need to hold something a Dvar Shvud Kedusha in order to take a Neder with Shvud Hesed. The only time you would need a Nikita Chafetz is if it was a Shvud Oraisa, and a Shvud Oraisa is Modim Mimixas. That's a Torah prescribed Shvud, and therefore, that he had to have been Modim Mimixas here. That's one. And number two is that he says, that he didn't say that. All right, Bishtabah the Pari. He didn't say that the priority lach that I paid you because he didn't pay him. He didn't pay him the money. He gave him the money. So he says that he took a shvua that he gave him the money. Right. That's the Torah. Bishtabah the Pari. Kol ma dehavalei biyodet. Right. That he paid him everything that he had in his hand. I mean that he gave him all the money that he had in his hand. How malva rogos? This guy gets the creditor gets so angry that this guy would be willing to right in front of him lie that he's ever paid him the money. Right, and then Vitavra how can you smash the cane down on the ground? Hey, Vishtapa, Hanuzuze Lara. All the money came flying out of the cane all over the floor. Vishtakach the Kushta Dishtabo. We see that he took it, his shvua was true. The guy was holding all the money that he owed him. So there you see that's what it's coming to exclude. When the Dayonim say, Al Datenu, Vadas Bezdin, it's not coming to someone to exclude someone who right, took a subjective shvur, where he's calling his dice zuze, right, where it's a, but rather, it's going to exclude somebody who is, you know, playing this type of trick, fraud. Where they're fraud, right?
So that, is that an unnecessary shvur then? In terms of after the fact?
Right.
You know, in the al-chaitz or whatever.
The Gemara calls it.
He did worse, but the actual shvur itself.
Was it truthful? I mean, it says, the Gemara says it was a truthful.
Was it unnecessary?
Possibly.
But money came.
It's not.
Money came.
But Katei. It's really true that people don't take shavuos based on subjective, you know, considerations. Vatanya, we have a brisa. V'chei matzinu b'Moshe Rabbeinu. By Moshe Rabbeinu at the end of the Torah, k'shi shbiat Yisrael barabot Moav, amar lahem. Abi yodim, shelo al datchem ani mashbiatchem. I'm not making you take a shavuah based on what you think. Ela yadati v'adat hamakom. Based on what I think and what Hashem thinks. Shnemar, v'lo yitchem levatchem, right? Says that I'm not taking this with you, Ella, right? Even you and your future generations, that all this shavua that you're taking is not based on your personal thoughts. So what are your personal thoughts? My Amalhu Moshe Lisrael. What is Moshe saying to Bnei Yisrael? Lav achi kamalhu. Dilma abitun milei. Right? Or you guys are going to go ahead and worship Avodah Zarah v'amitun. Adatenu, and it, or you did worship Avodah Zarah, and it's based on our what you think. So he says, Adati, no, you're taking the shavua based on what I think. Lafuke mai, what's it? Good. Lafuke dasiku shmada voresko chavim eloka. That they call the Avodah Zarah eloka or elokim. Right? I mean that they named the Avodah Zarah Hashem. And therefore, they gave it, since it's the Shem Hashem, then they're gonna say, you know what, we're doing okay. We took an edda that we would worship Hashem, and we are worshiping Hashem. What do you see from this? That people do take such shavuos based on their subjective thoughts. Lo, avodas kachavim, lo avodas kachavim, ikra elokah, dechdiv, elohe, okol elohe mitzrayim. Now, we know that Avodas Kochavim are called Eloka.
Right?
Eloha. Right here, over here, right, Eloha. So it's, because it says by Mitzrayim, when the Torah speaks about Avodah Zarah, right, it still uses the term Elohim. If it uses that term is both Chol and Kodesh. So Gemara says, so that says, Velishba Yatom. So there, the Gemara's answer is what? That's not really subjective. That even in an objective standard, right, the term, right, Elohim, which refers to God, or Elohim, which refers to Avodah Zarah, are proper terms. And that's what Moshe was trying to avoid. So as Mar says, right, call our mitzvos, or that they should keep the mitzvos. So why does he have to go around and say, you know, al-dati, but right, lo yitchem levatchem ani, right, I take in the Shavua? Why don't you just specifically specify that if he narrows down what he's talking about, you'll keep all the mitzvos? So Mar says, because the mashma mitzvos amelech, that if he just said, keep all the mitzvos, they'll say, or keep the mitzvos, they'll say that it's talking about Parshat HaMelech. Because either, the Rashi here has a Rinnah Gershom, says that it's, the Parshat Mitzvos HaMelech has a bunch of mitzvos in it. And then when he says mitzvos, they'll look at it as a small piece of the Torah and say, I'm doing all the mitzvos, or I'm doing the king. Or you could say, like some of the other Rishonim suggest here, that mitzvah samelech, that the mitzvah samelech means, right, that Hashem's command, but when you say that, when the word tzivui means commandments. So which commandments are you talking about? Are you talking about commandments of Hashem, or are you talking about mitzvah samelech, that which the king commanded? Right? Not simply the mitzvos, which you could imply to be either mitzvos HaMelech or the parshas HaMelech. Elokol mitzvos. They'll do all the mitzvos. So when it says, mashma mitzvah tzitzis. Right? When you say all the mitzvos, you can say, I'm just doing tzitzis and I'm all set. Why? Damar marsh, kula mitzvah tzitzis, keneged kol mitzvah shebe Torah. Right? Tzitzis is equal to all mitzvos in the Torah. Since you can equate kol mitzvah the Torah to tzitzis, he'll say, when I took the shvua, I had in mind tzitzis, or I'll take care of the tzitzis, and then the rest, I don't need. Alright, so for the Shabbat, it's on to my Ketumah and Torah. Right, so then, he says, why don't you have them take a shvua that he is, they'll keep the Torah. So it says, mashma Torah achas. Right? That it sounds like only one Torah. Two possibilities here to learn what is Torah here, meaning that you can either say mean Torah Shabbat Peh, Torah Shabbat. When it says Torah, they'll say, oh, I just thought Torah Shabbat, not Torah Shabbat Peh. Or that Torah is a term that's used in Vayikra a lot. It says Torah Sakata, Torah Tashlamim, Torah Tetodah. So when they say Torah, he can just say, oh, I thought you meant Torah Tashlamim. When the Parsha Vayikra says, oh, is that Torah Tashlamim? That's what I thought you were referring to. So Lishva Yatom to Mekaimun Torot. Right? So that say that it was Torot. So either, according to that part, that it was Torah Shvatav, Torah Shabbat Peh, that cover both of them. Or, that it's all the Torot, right? Meaning, Mashma Torah Semincha, Torah Skata, Torah Sasham. Meaning that, according to the other reasoning, when you say all the Torot, means all the Parshios in Vayikra that say Torah, Zetorat HaKata, Zetorat HaShlamim, Zetorat HaTodah. That's what he refers to. Now I'm going to try another. Lishba Yatom to give a Shavua, Demekaimuton, Torot, Umitzvot. So now let's cover all bases. He does all the Torot and all the mitzvot. So where it says, well, then you could just say, Torot mashma Torah tamincha, and mitzvot mashma mitzvot samelech. Okay, so that doesn't work. Basically, they took two individual items that didn't work. Now yet, together, they still don't help you. The same problem. Lishba Yon, Demekaimuton, Torah Kula. So let's say they take all the Torah. So it says, Torah Kula, mashma Boros Kochavim. You say, a whole Torah, that would be like not worshipping Avodah Zarah. Why? Titania. Chamura Avodah Kochavim should call a kofer buck ilum modi b'Torah Kula. Right? Avodah Kochavim is such a severe, or such a powerful Avera, that one who distances himself from Avodah Kochavim, rejects Avodah Kochavim, as if he has, you know, he's agreed to the whole Torah. So this individual could say, that's it. When Moshe said Torah Kula, I thought he meant Avodah Zarah. I'll just take care of Avodah Zarah. I'm set. And then everything else, you know, that's not covered by the Shavua. So Gemara gets there, and finally down to here. V'lishba yatalanta mekayim mutun avodas kachavim v'torah kula. Now, if you say, what, keep the avodas kachavim and torah kula. So that's clear now that torah kula is not referring to avodas kachavim, right? But it's torah kula. So now, so we came up finally with a good solution. Or inami. It's an interesting line here. Shesh miosh v'shloshesrei mitzvot. Or say 613 mitzvot. Right, which is not so, or it's not so common. The Gemara, it's, you know, shkura b'finu, that there are 613 mitzvot, but that is not, that's really based on the Gemara in Kiddushin, that says that there are 613 mitzvot. I don't think it's mentioned, I can't say conclusively, but I don't think it's mentioned that many times in Shas, outside of Kiddushin. But here's one other occasion where it mentions that there are 613 mitzvot. So here it says, inami, right? Mitzvot. So he could have used those. These are both solutions that they couldn't get around. But Moshe Rabbeinu, Milsif Lo Tricha Nachat. Moshe Rabbeinu just wanted to take the easy way. Meaning that instead of having to, explicate every detail or have to, you know, line it all out, if he just says, Al Dati Vadat Makom, he covers bases. Meaning that he doesn't have to start worrying about what they're thinking, what their subjective thoughts are, how to get out of it. He just says, you know what? It's based on what I think and what Hashem thinks right now. What you think is irrelevant in this Shavua. Alright. And the reason, so again, the Gemara suggested at first that a person could take a personal Shavua. And maybe that instead of these being Shavuot or Nidarim de Guzma, meaning that they are Havai, that they would be exaggerated Shavuot or Nidarim, or that they would be manners of speech, and therefore they're not relevant. Meaning that the Shavuot and the Nidarim did not take effect. The Gemara suggested maybe they should take effect because the person was not talking about people, he was talking about ants. So the Gemara says no, that in general, by Shavuos, we don't look at what the person's thinking, we look at what normal people would assume that he's speaking about. Unless he otherwise specifies, we assume that he's saying what he meant. And therefore, the Gemara challenged that from two places. The Gemara challenged that first from Beis Din, where Beis Din says when you take a Shavua, it's based on what we think, not on what you think. So Gemara says, well, what's that to exclude? Is that to exclude a case of subjectivity? Gemara says in the end, no, that's coming to exclude the case of Kanyo de Rova. That unique case where the person could be telling the truth and he came up with some, scam to make it seem as if he paid back the money, even though he had not paid back. So therefore, in that case, even according to us, he was telling the truth. It was just he did it in a, subverted manner. So that's what it's coming to exclude. But now, the second choice was by Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu specifically said, Al-Dati Va-Dati Makom, based on what I think, what Hashem thinks. The Gemara again thought, oh, because there are subjective Shavuot. Now, the Gemara says, no, that's unique to that case by Moshe Rabbeinu and Hashem, because the terminology that he would have used, if he did not specify it's based on what I think, what you think, would have led people to come up with alternative explanations for those words, whether it's mitzvot, torot, kol mitzvot, kol torah, all of those would have come up, the people could have explanations for the word that are valid explanations that would have taken the shvua out of the context in which Moshe really wanted to have. So then the Gemara comes up with a solution where he had a language which was more mitzvah, either says 613 mitzvot, or torah kula and boris kachamim, and the Gemara says, that's just as good as saying al dati val dati makom. And that's what Moshe in the end did, was to make sure that it was clear about exactly what they were speaking about and that there was no subjectivity. But not that in general we allow for subjectivity in Shavuot, but that is unique to where the terminology is unclear. When the terminology is unclear, then there is subjectivity. And that's what we had earlier in the Gemara. Like by Chermo Sholyam, right? When the person took out a Chayrim, later on he comes and says it was Chermo Sholyam. So even though that's a far-fetched explanation for the word Chayrim, nevertheless, it is a valid explanation of the word Chayrim, and we believe him if he says that it was Chermo Sholyam. So it's over here. If he said Torot or Mitzvot, we would have believed if he had, you know, said it was something else, even though that's not the normal explanation for it. But to make it into something that is unacceptable, to say that Ole Mitzrayim refers to ants, right, or that Zuze refers to his dice, his pet dice, right, those are too far-fetched. That's beyond what the normal person would consider within that term or within that expression. And therefore, we would not say that that is subject to Shavua or Nether.
So it's a term that a person makes up is not acceptable, but a term that is the valid meaning, it's just not
the common usage.
The point over there is that we have the machlokes about, you know, about what kinuyim are, right? Whether it's terms that the Chacham made up,
right.
Or
right, it's a language.
It's, you know, other language.
Right. All right. So now the Gemara is going to go back now to our Mishnah and bring down the second case of the Mishnah. The second case of the Mishnah was about Imlori Iti Nachash Bikorat Beit Abad. I didn't see a snake the size of a board of the Beit Abad. Right. So what is that? Imlori Iti Nachash Bikorat Beit Abad. Below. I mean, we haven't had such a thing. I mean, there are snakes that size. Ah, to have a Bishnei Shavar Malko. There was this snake in the days of Shavar Malko. Ramalei Tlesar Arvata to Tibna. They fed him, or they threw to him 13 either sacks, leather sacks, or you know, bundles of straw. Uvalationi swallowed them. I mean, that this was a mighty big snake, right? So there are such snakes like that. So Amar Shmuel b'taruf. So that's a case where it was taruf. What does taruf mean? Taruf, so there are, like the Rabbeinu Gershom or the Rashi suggests that taruf is nachash minumar. Right? Minumar would be striped, right? Spotted or striped, right? Like a leopard. Right? So that's one possibility. The other possibility, the way the Ran learns it, is bikaim bikaim. That it has, what do you call depressions or folds in the skin. Right? So that's, so then Gemara says, so kulunach shei mitra of tarfei. All snakes have either spots or stripes or have these folds in their skin, right, these impressions in their skin. So it says, no, agavu taruf kamrin. I'm talking about their backs. That all snakes have either these folds or these spots on their necks or in their front, but they don't usually have it on their backs. So Umar says, vivlit nei taruf. Why don't you just say that? I mean, if you meant taruf, what are you talking about? Because, you know, that it's a size, because koros space abad, just say taruf. And so the Gemara says, milsa gavorche kamashmalan. The Tana wanted to teach us something. What's that? He was a businessman. The koros space abad, gabul taruf. That the koros space abad has these, either, I don't know how you explain this, because the Rea Gersh, that has spots on it, is spotted on its back, or that it has some sort of, what? It's notched. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I mean, that's more like the Bikayim, which would be, yeah. Like, right, the Ran. That makes more sense according to what the Ran's explaining it. Bikayim, which, right, would make sense that it's a ridged, or it's some sort, it's not a smooth piece of wood, but it's, right, it's rough on the backside. So that makes sense. But I'm saying when you say Minumar, then I don't know what that means. Maybe he's saying that the ridged or the notched aspects of it make it look like right, it's striped or Minumar. So he says, of course, it means Gabo Taruf, Lamai Nafkamina. I mean, okay. So, right, exactly. Lamekach umemkar. It's going to teach you about a business transaction. Lamar lacham ukhikor at beit abad. If someone commits to selling a beit abad lachameru, if Gabo Taruf in ilolo. How do you know if it's Kor's beit abad? Well, if its back is either ridge, notch, stripe, whatever it is that it needs to be, then it is a Kor's beit abad. If not, it doesn't qualify as Kor's beit abad. So you came to teach us that as an aside. Okay.
Yeah, I was actually thinking that when I was reading the Mishnah.
But that was the
one on Amazon.
Pretty intuitively obvious.
All right. Now another Mishnah. All right, Nidrei Shkagos. This is the third of the four that were mentioned in our first Mishnah of the Perek. All right, so far we've done Nidrei Habai, Nidrei Ziruzin, right, and this will be Nidrei Shkagos. This is a nether that you make by mistake. Right, it's a matter that you make by mistake under a wrong assumption or a wrong presumption, and therefore the nether, the shvur, are not chal. Nidrei shkagos im achalti v'im shatiti, that he says takes a nether, yes, our lie, perot olam, that all the fruits in the world should be restricted to me if I ate today or if I drank today, and then nisgar shalchol v'shata. And now he remembers when he took the nether, he thought he didn't eat or drink that day. Then all of a sudden, after he's taken the net, he goes, oh my gosh, I did drink. Then we set a net there because it was taken with the wrong underlying assumption. Right? Or, Shani Ochel Vashin Nishotep. So I'm sure I have different ways of reading what this nether is. Either that this nether is that he says, I will eat and I will drink. Right? I mean that he says, if I do eat or if I do drink, I will violate the nether. And then he goes ahead and eats and he drinks. And that would be also a Nidrish Bagus was at the time that he ate or drank, right, he didn't remember the nether, meaning that he didn't have the nether in mind, and that his eating and drinking is not the nether. Okay, very good. So, right, excellent. So the other Rishonim learned to solve that problem, which Shaul is pointing out. It's obvious that that's different. I mean, that one case is that underlying nether, mikaro, right, is failing because there's a struggle. Here, the nether took effect, and then he's a shogeg in when he goes and eats. When he goes and eats, even he forgets the nether, and that's different than the nether not being in existence, right? So the other Rishonim learned that it's similar. It's like a tznai in the nether. What he says is that all the pairs of olam should be usher to me if I do eat or if I do drink, as opposed to in the past tense where he says if I did drink or if I did eat. He does it now in the future. He does it now in the future tense. Now, when is the nether chal? Is the nether chal right now? No, the nether is chal when I do eat and when I do drink. So then, what happens when he comes to eat and he comes to drink? He forgets about the nether. So now you have a case that's similar. You have a case that's similar to that first case, which is at the chalus, the tema, the chalus and nether. He forgets that he's triggering the nether, right? And therefore, when he eats or he drinks, right, then there's that. So very good, Shaul. So that's exactly what bothers them. We've shown him, and they create a situation and created that the nether, that there's a shkaga in the chalus and nether. If you want to look, it's in the Ran here, this first Ran, right across from the word Mishnah. That's where the Ran discusses exactly what points out that's the case here. That he conditions the nether, and then at the time that the condition is about to be fulfilled, he forgets it, and therefore he loses it. That becomes like Nishkagos again. Alright, Amar. Konim Ishti. So this is the Gemara that we quoted on Achav Bet, Amud Bet. That Konim Ishti is the Shabbos is daf. Konim Ishti Nenet Li. I restrict my wife from getting benefit from me. She gunvet kisi, said she stole my wallet, but she kata atvini, or that she hit my son. Vinoda shalo ikato, and then he finds out that he did not hit her, or that she did not hit him. Vinoda shalo ganvo, and that she did not steal. So that's a nidrish gogos, because the underlying premise was incorrect. Now here again, and this was on Shabbos, I don't know if Rabbi David mentioned it on Shabbos, but the argument here whether she has to explicitly say this. I mean that, if he explicitly says in his nether, that the nether's premise, that the nether's wife hit his son, or that his wife stole from him, then that's like a condition in the nether. If that condition fails, then there is no nether. What are you talking about nidrish gogos here? That's a failure based on any nether that you take with a condition, and if the condition fails, the nether fails. So why is it? So a lot of the Rishonim, you can see it in the Rush over here. I think Tosfos also mentioned it over here, that don't explain where he explicitly said this. I mean, it was obvious from the context. They're having a conversation about, you know, oh, you hit my son, or you stole from me, and then he takes a nether. So it's clear from the context that was the premise of his nether. And the nether was premised on that. It's not in the nether, but from the context it was obvious, and the nether was taken based on that, and that's why it's Nidreish Gugus. That's how the Rosh and Tosus over here bring down, they change the gear, so to say that is, he doesn't explicitly say it. The Ran, back on Chav Bet Amud Bet, says no, that the Rashpo says you can be Goresit. And this is a case where he says, as opposed to the Mishnah, he says over here that there's a difference between whether he agrees to the nether or does not agree to the nether. Meaning that if he says, for instance, they go ahead and say to him, listen, you know, you took this nether and you said it was because your wife stole, or because your wife hit your child. Then he says, you know what? I don't really care. I want the nether to be there even though that wasn't true. It's called Ma'amid Devarav. So in that case, the Ran says, or the Rashba believes, that you have to get Shaila. You need a Petach Nether. And that's what we read on the Daf on Shabbos, that someone who makes such a Nether needs to get a Petach Nether. Why does he need a Shaila? Why does he need a Petach Nether? Because he says, Ma'amid Devarav. He says it wasn't a Shkaga. It wasn't a mistake. Even though I said that, I still want the Nether to be in effect. I put that condition in it, but that wasn't the sole reason. I really want the whole Nether to work. In that case, he needs Petach Nether, and it's a weaker Nether, because truthfully, he did say something. He did qualify his statement. But if he just qualifies his statement, and afterwards he says, you know what, you're right, I don't believe in it, then that will not hold. That Nether will not hold. So that's why the Mishnah mentions this strange formulation, which seems like a Tanai, because that Tanai can be overcome. That can be overcome by him saying, despite this, I still want the Nether to take effect.
So the tradition of the Mishnah is that since he could be mamid, since he's not mamid,
then it's a nidrish gogos, then it goes away. Right, exactly. That's the way the Rashba learns that the chiddush is in the mission, leaves the girsa intact. I think the other Rishonim, look, Tosfos here, the Rosh here, they all wipe out this girsa, because otherwise it's not, doesn't make so much sense. Okay.
It's funny, we have to something like this, not another, with a tnai, when you sold something, you know, you sold something because you're going to buy something else, and you can cancel it. So they always saw the concept that even if you don't see something fairishes at night, it's with the surroundings. You
realize in the context, in the context, it's right? Implicit in the context.
When you bought something, you sold. Was it in service? When you, I sold you something because I was going to buy another property, but that
right.
fell through.
That fell through. So right, exactly, that's the case, yeah. Right? So that's detrimental reliance,
yeah.
Which is that you're doing something based on a clear context that you're going to do something else. Do we say that there is, in American law, in a court of law, it would not stand up because right. Mikra din, you didn't do anything, right? But maybe in what's called a court of equity. I mean that in order to be equitable about this, we would say that the sale was premised on that context of the situation.
The food coming through the ships.
Right, yeah, right. That's the case. That's that gemara. It's that same doc. Exactly.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah. It's the same base.
Right. Notice look at Ra'otan. Okay, next case. Ra'otan ochlin te'enim. He saw a bunch of people eating his figs from some of his trees. Ba'amar harei aleichem karbon. He says, oh, these figs are restricted to you like a karbon. And then it gets a little closer. Turns out it's his father and his brother that are eating. And other people were with him. His brother and his father are mutar, but the others are still restricted.
So we split the
net, right? Both of them are mutar. Tana. All right, so now this is to be the third statement that we have after our Mishnah. Kashem shenitresh gogos mutarim. Kachshua shagogos mutarot. Just like it works by Nidre Shkagos, so too it works by Shvuah Shkagos. If there's a mistake in the Shvuah, the underlying Shvuah, then you also will undo it. So again, if you look at each of the Mishnah, you've had Shvuah Zeruzim, Shvuah Havai, and Shvuah Shkagos. That's why I assume a lot of the Rishonim changed the Girsa over in the previous one. The previous Mishnah said that we have Nidre Havai, but we don't have Shvuah Havai. Right, but in this case, we say we have Nidre Shkagos, and we have Shvuah Shkagos. And in the previous Mishnah, we said that there are also Shvuah Zeruzin, right? So therefore, the Gemara says, all of the Girsos, maybe what drove some of the Rishonim to change the Girsa, to read that by Shavuos Havai, also because there happens to be a mission on Shavuos that says that Shavuos Havai work. So that does help, although I think...
Ibruf says Mutter.
What?
Ibruf says it's Havai.
It's Mutter, meaning that there is such a concept, although again, the Ran divided up. Again, the Ran says by Shavuos, there are only certain Shavuos that will be Havai, whether Shavuos will not be Havai, and then you can explain the Girsa that says there aren't Shavuos Havai, according to that piece that doesn't work with. All right, just pointing it out that here, because we're having these different types of Nidarim, and the Gemara in each case is saying Shavuos work the same way. What's the case? I mean, not what's the case, because it's easy to come up with a shvuah that's made mistaken. I mean, that's not the issue. The question is, let's test the limits. How far is it still considered a shvuah shkagos? Shvuah shkagos could go on Rav Kahana over Rav Asi. In the case of Rav Kahana and Rav Asi, Adain Amar Shvuah to the Hachi Amar Rav, they're arguing about what Rav said. So they're both quoting something in the name of Rav, and each one of them takes a shvuah. That, this is what Rav said. Says, so what he says, Adena Amar, one of them says, Shvuata Dahakya Amar Rav. This is what Rav said. Adena Amar, Shvuata Dahakya Amar Rav. And the other one says, Shvuata, that's what Rav said. That if you look individually, if you look at each one, they're taking a not in the context, each one of them taking a Shvua that they believe in, that they think they're right. And if they're wrong, then, right, that the Shvua, right, should be chal. Right, but if you look at it in I'm saying that if you look at it in the context of both of them, right, then you would think, what would you think? If you have both of them there, one of them has to know they're wrong. In that when they take the shvuah about what Rav said, only one of the two could be right.
One of them doesn't have to know that he's wrong. The two of them have to know that one of them is wrong.
Right.
But then, have to know which
so then you would think it's not a shvuah shkagah, because he has to know from the context that it's not a shvuah shkagah, because he knows there's a possibility that a shvuah could be wrong. The fact that someone else is taking the shvuah opposite him, who's saying the exact opposite, then he has to know there's a possibility that he is wrong. If there's a possibility he's wrong, maybe that's not called shvuah shkagah. And the Gemara says, no, that we look at each one individually. Each individual, when he takes it, is right, right? And we ignore what the other guy's doing. And therefore, when it's proven that he's wrong, that was still considered a shvuah shkagah. So again, that's just showing the length. How far can it be still considered a shvuah shkagah? That even though from the context it would not look like a shvuah shkagah, nevertheless we look at the individuals taking the shvuah and we say, in his mind, this was a shvuah shkagah, because he meant to l'amik tvarav, to really, you know, say what I'm saying is right, and not to say, you know, as opposed to, you know, this guy over here, but really to say I am right, and we look at it in that context, not in the context of, well, if the other guy says he's right, and you say you're right, one of you guys is wrong. One of you two is wrong, then you better consider that in your shvuah. We don't say that. Ra'otan Ochlin. All right, we're going to get a start on this, and then it continues deep into tomorrow's daf. But we'll get a start on this and set up this Mishnah according to one day, and then we'll continue with Rabba's day. Tomorrow's day, we'll start with Rabba's day. It's not Mishnah. It's not awesome. Potchim b'shabbatot u'b'yomim tovim. This is a Mishnah further on. That a person who takes a net there not to eat, or like say, either not to eat meat, not to drink wine, or I don't know if it's not to eat at all. You know, meaning like this takes a net that he won't eat during the day or something. Now, he potchim b'shabbatot u'b'yomim tovim. When we come to undo this net there, we go, start asking him about Shabbos and Yom Tov. Not that Shabbos and Yom Tov are a reason to get out of the nether, because obviously if you take a nether for a year, Shabbos and Yom Tov are included in the year. Right? So what do you mean, posting Shabbos and Yom Tov is either you talk about the Kavod Shabbos, Kavod Yom Tov. I mean, he knew there was Shabbos and Yom Tov, but then he considered that if he didn't have Basar B'Yayin, or if he didn't eat on these days, that would be Pugeya B'Kavod Shabbos, or B'Kavod Yom Tov. I mean, did he really think about the ramifications of not eating or not having these items on Shabbos and Yom Tov? Obviously,
are we trying to modify the nether to exclude just Shabbos and Yom Tov?
Excellent. Right, so. That's it. For Yishona Hayu Omrim. So in the beginning, they used to say when they had this nether, Otan Yomim Mutarim, Mishar Kala Yomim Asurim. Exactly what you said, Tzvi. Oh, Shabbos and Yom Tov. That means what? Alright, now you can eat on Shabbos and Yom Tov, but the other days remain in their restriction.
That should be like the Machlokes Bishlo Beshamai in the Mishnah.
Very good. Excellent.
Including,
Shabbat Rabbi Akiva Velimeit. Until Rabbi Akiva came along and taught, Neder Shehutar Mikzaso, Hutar Kulo. When you have a nether that's taken apart, the portion of the nether is taken apart, then the whole nether falls. I mean, it's an all or nothing. A nether is all or nothing. So if you get rid of a piece of it, the rest of the nether falls apart as well. Therefore, if you take Shabbos and Yom Tovim out of it, then the rest of the year is also mutar, because you can't have half a nether. It's either the whole nether or nothing. That's what Rabbi Akiva learns. And like you're suggesting, that's going to be the Machlokes Beis Hillel, or according to, right, that's what exactly what the Amoraim, Rabbo and Rova are going to argue about over here, is exactly how does that fit into Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai in our Mishnah, meaning that Neder Shehutar Mikzaso Mikhtar Kulo, like Beis Hillel, or like Beis Shammai, which says no, that you can have a portion of a Neder. So now let's set that case up. Omar Rabba. So Kuliyama, Tohei Chadamar, anytime he says, Ili Hayiti, now this is going back to our Mishnah. He sees these people, takes the Neder, and then he goes ahead and sees that it's his father or his brother. So now, what's the case? Everybody agrees that, had I known my father was among you, had it been that I know my father was there, I would have modified or qualified my statement. Instead of saying, kuchem asurim, I would have said, kuchem asurim, chutz mi'ab. In that case, everybody agrees that they remain asur, and his father is mutar. Right? Why? So that's it. The Rosh says, somebody should just say that's because he didn't change his language. Yeah, if you want to be oker, right, if you want to be oker and neder, oking and neder means that that the words that you said were not valid. Over here, the words you said are valid. Why? Because you said kuchem asurim, and you remain with that position of kuchem asurim, you're just adding on, chutz mi'ab. So your addition of that word, chutz mi'ab, does not change the underlying neder. The underlying neder still remains kuchem asurim. That's the way the Rosh learns. All right, we'll finish up his statement with the Rosh, and then we'll come back and just see what the Ron says. All right, lo nechuku. Where is Machlokas Beis Hillel and Shammai? But Omer ilei to Yodei Shabbos v'Neichem. How do I know my father was among you? I to Omer Ploni b'Ploni Asurim. Ba'aba mutar. I would never wanted my father to even think that he was Asur. I would never have said Kuchem Asurim Chutz Mi'aba, which for a moment makes my father think that it's Asur to him, and then it's Chutz Mi'aba. I would rather say, you and you are Asur, and you are Mutar. So if I'm already going to do that, I'm now, according to the Rosh, is learning, I'm now Oker part of the Nether. Why? The original Nether was phrased as Kuchem Asurim, right? And now when I go back and say, I would never have said Kuchem Asurim, I would have said this, that means that you are Oker the Nether, and therefore we come to Machlokes Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai, that what? Is Nether Shehutar Mikzaso, Hutar Kulo. When you eliminate a portion of a nether, does that eliminate the entire nether? Right? According to Beis Hillel, now that you're changing your mind about the Lashon, right? That already makes it Hutar Miksaso. And if it's Hutar Miksaso, then we say Hutar Kulo, and there's no neder to stand. But Beit Sharim says, no, you want to change it, you could change it for a part. The other part, that still will still be in effect. So that's where the Rosh learns. It's simply an issue of the language. Does Kuchem Asurim stand in the end or not stand? That's all about your language. The Ran, on the other hand, says, right here. So if you look in the Ran, the Akshav, it's three lines from the bottom. Three lines from the bottom, middle of the line, dead center of the line. The Ran says, over here, why is this not considered Neder Shehutar Miksaso when he says Kuchem Asurim? V'Akshav, Gam Kein Mami Davarav HaRishonim L'Gabei Acherim. He still has not changed his mind or his words with regards to the others. But Ota Lashon Mamash, in that same exact language, that sounds like the Rush, Amar V'Atchila. Even though now he's excluding his father, why? See, that's the Ran changes. The Ran doesn't change just the language. He says that when he said Kuchem Asurim, what he's basically saying is, my intent when I said Kuchem Asurim is that it never included my father. Meaning that he's not only not changing the language of the nether, he's saying that the never encompassed my father. I mean, that he's not saying that I'm changing the nether at all. He's saying the Kuchem Asurim is still there. But I went Kuchem, all of you, means all of you, not him. I mean, all of you is not a defined term. All of you could be everybody, all of you could be everybody standing there, all of you could be anybody besides my father. But afterwards, what he's basically saying is, the language stays in place, and the nether stays in place, because all I'm saying is that my father was not included in that term, all of you.
More of an explanation.
Right. Right, an explanation of what that term is. But, if he comes along and says, that I didn't want to say Kuchem Asurim, I would have said Plony and Plony and Plony and Plony. Then the Ran says that there are two deficits now. One is, he's changing the language. And number two is, the Mashmaot. He's saying,
acknowledging that the language,
has failed. Right, exactly. That Kuchem Asurim would have included my father. And that, I don't want.
It's a fine case of Bimachok Zeran and Rosh, where it's not to change the word, it's also changing the Mashmaot, even though the word stays.
Right. Either that way or the other way around. Yeah. Or whether the word stays and the Mashmaot does not change. Right. But I'm just saying, pointing out the Ran, because the Ran's explanation is very, the Rosh just simply talks about the language. If you can hold the language, it works. Right, but the Ran says no, it's not simply about holding the language, it's about the ability to explain this nether without changing that nether. Because Hutar Miksaso literally means that you've somehow undermined the original nether. But here you could have the nether stand without undermining the original nether, and it's all about Mashmaut. So we'll stop here with Rabbi's opinion. Rava obviously learns the Gemara tomorrow, we'll learn it differently.
That's right.